is making a difference. Can we make a difference in people's lives? You know, I believe the Lord can help us to make a difference. There are so many people in need today. But if we live for God and we give our heart to the Lord, He gives us something to give back, to give to others, to help. He doesn't save us for us to just, you know, relax and just take care of our own lives and just, you know, do our own thing, so to speak. But He's done so much for us. He wants us to do for His service. And so I want to encourage us, those that are not saved, to get saved. Give your heart to God. And then do something for God. He's done so much for us. We have life. We have breath. God gives us this. He gives us the ability to walk and talk and think. You know, there are people today that don't have a clear mind. They don't. But God gives us a clear mind. And it's a blessing. I count it a blessing. How did God give the strength to even think and to be able to do the things we can do day by day? But we don't want to just be satisfied with getting. You know, sometimes we can be real selfish and the Lord bless us with this, or we get this, the children, you know, they like to get. But it's good to be able to give back. We want to make a difference in somebody's life. We want to live so that we can be a positive influence for somebody else. I want us to go to Jude 1. Jude is only one chapter. It's the last book next to Revelation, verse 24. Keep yourself, we'll start at 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. You see, we don't want to just spend our whole efforts on ourselves. We want to have, of course we have to be saved, and of course we have to keep ourselves in the love of God, because we can't do anything for God if we don't. But then He wants us to look beyond ourselves. It says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We want to pull them out of the fire. There are people that are so bound and so entangled that the enemy of their soul is going to destroy them unless an intervention happens on their behalf. And we want to be a part of that intervention. We want to be able to pull them out of the fire, not be satisfied with them being lost. Sometimes people are so hard to deal with till it would be easy to say, well, you know, whatever happens, happen. But we don't want to do that. We want to look beyond that to their souls. There are souls that are going to die without God unless we work with God and pull them out of the fire. We want to make a difference. How can we do this? God can help us to be able to make a difference in somebody's life, pull them out of the fire, and be a help to them. Let's go now to Matthew 9:36. And while you're getting there, I want you to think how that Jesus had such a great burden for souls. He looked at them with compassion. His heart went out for them. And we want to share in the burden that Jesus had for the souls of men.
Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
37 and 37.
Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers unto his harvest.
Can we take that burden? Can we take up that concern to pray that the Lord of the harvest, which is God Almighty, will send laborers into the vineyard? We want to be able. One time I was driving here from Dallas one Sunday morning. I had gone to Dallas and I was driving here to get back for Sunday morning service. And as I was driving through different towns, my heart just kind of got overwhelmed when I thought, do they know the gospel? A lot of people are being churched. They're being preached. But are they really being taught the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel of Jesus Christ teaches men and women, boys and girls, that Jesus came for our souls that we might be saved. It teaches them that we can live free from sin. We can, Jesus, it wouldn't have been any point of him coming here if we could not live free from sin. If we had to stay in the same state we were in before Jesus came, it would have been no reason for him to come. He came to deliver us from sin, to give us a new life, give us new hope, give us a way to prepare for heaven. And so we want to take up his burden, Jesus' burden, of sending, praying that God would send laborers in the vineyard. And when we get to praying, he might choose us to be part of that labor, to go out and reach out to other people. Do you know we have people, loved ones, that need God? We need to have a burden for them. We have friends that need God. We need to have a burden for. We have neighbors. We have co-workers. All of these people, the harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. How can we be a part of this? How can we take up Jesus' burden? Let's go now and read Luke 10:2-3. We want to surely look at the harvest. See what we can do to pull people out of the fire. I think about how that there are people that's about to be destroyed unless God doesn't intervene for them. And I realize that we're limited in that we can't make people get saved. We can't make them. God himself doesn't make anyone get saved. But we can be a part of reaching out to them, talking to them as God leads us. Not only we can share the gospel. I think sometimes people wonder, well, what can I do? You know what? If God did something for you, you can share that. We can share that. We can share what God does for us with people. Let's be careful, not just careful, but let's be open our eyes and our minds to how can we share the gospel? How can we help others? Let's go to Luke 10:2-3.
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves.
You see, Jesus wants to send us forth. He wants us to do something for him. You know, sometimes you could be sitting in your living room talking to some family members. And a lot of time we spend our talk on the things that's happening here. So-and-so is graduating. And those are good things. Somebody just had a new baby or different casual things. But can we take some of that time and say something for God? Can we? Every opportunity we have. Sometimes I'll be driving along and I'll see a homeless person on the street. And I keep saying, I got to get them. I have had tracts in my purse or in my car. And if they want a dollar, I want to give them a dollar and a tract. I remember one time I was going in Dollar General, and this young man was standing out there, and I was trying to get something, and I got a dollar for him, and I gave him a tract too. I think about it. I have boys. I have young boys. I mean, they're young. They're men. It could be my son on that street with that cup. I want them to see there's hope in Christ. So we need to consider, have compassion like Jesus had compassion. He saw the multitude. He didn't just turn them away. He didn't just be unconcerned about them. He was concerned. It said that he had compassion. He felt like they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And so we need to have that same burden of looking out among us and seeing people that are dying, pining away in their sins, and have compassion and realize they're like a sheep without shepherd. Let's reach out to them. Let's not give up on people. It's easy to give up on them. They frustrate you. They do things that you think they shouldn't do and all that. And that's true. But let's don't give up. Let's pray for them. Let's reach out to them. Let's set an example before them. You know, some people think, you know, you do this and do that to win people. We cannot win them by falling into sin with them. We have to hold up a standard of righteousness before them. It's ways that God has for us to be a help to them. So we want to get away from our busyness of our lives and the things that we want to do and the things we want to enjoy. And let's think of others. And reach out to them and try to be a help to them. Let's go now to Ezekiel 22, verses 29 and 30.
Ezekiel 22, 29 and 30 says, the people of the land have used oppression. and exercise robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the head and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
We don't want the Lord to say, I didn't find anybody that could stand in the gap. Can we stand in the gap for people that are in trouble? Can we be that help to them? I believe the Lord has ways for us to really be a help to other people, to show how to encourage them. Isaiah 66, 7 and 8. God can draw people to him if we set a good example and we be a help to him. And that's what we want to do.
Isaiah 66, verse 7
and 8.
Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who have heard such things, who have seen such things, shall the earth be made to bring forth one in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? But soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children.
Who is Zion? That's the people of God. Zion shall... If Zion travails, she'll bring forth children. Do you know in the kingdom of God, this means people will be saved. But Zion has to travail. Zion has to put forth some effort. Zion has to deny themselves of comfort. Sometimes we're going to have to deny ourselves of comfort or food or time. The time I want to relax and do what I want to do. Sometimes we need to take some of that time and pray for those that are in great need. Let's travail in prayer for others that God may save them and bring them out of their destructive ways, because the ways they're going will destroy them. Let's not give up. Let's do all we can. I remember I was talking, I might have mentioned this, but my daughter Becky was telling someone close to her, someone, her relative, that was upset with another relative. And they told her that if you just forget about being around them or whatever they were mean, that's what they meant, being, you know, friends with them, then you and I could get along good. That's what they told Becky. And Becky said, I don't burn bridges. Let's not burn bridges. Let's not decide that, you know, I'm going to forsake this one. I can't stand the way they act or whatever. But let's have tolerance for others, even when they are not very lovely. Let's go now to Micah 4 and 10. How can we be a help to others? How can we make a difference in their lives? What can we do? We want to talk about some about what we really can do. Let's go to Micah 4 and 10.
Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemy.
So, like I said, we're going to have to put forth some effort. We're going to have to deny ourselves. Sometimes if we don't want to be bothered with certain people. Sometimes we're just going to have to be willing to be bothered with them to help them out. Maybe that person that come around you, they don't smell so good and all this. Are we willing to have patience with them? Are we willing to be a help to them? Let's reach out. Let's reach out. So how can we do this? In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, be thou an example of the believers. That's one way. We have to live an example life in order to help somebody else. We can't help anybody else if we're going to live the same way they're living. But if they see Christ in us, there are ways for us to show Christ to the world. And I want us to look at, I'm going to skip and come back to something, but I want us to look at this scripture in Romans 12:19-20. How can we help people? What can we do? How can we make a difference? How can we win them?
Romans 12:19-20. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
21. Go to 21.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
This is how we can win them. This is one of the ways. Maybe they are not lovely. They don't seem to care for you. But we can reach out to them anyway. And we can show them love in spite of the way they may not show us love. They may not even care for us. But we can show love to them in spite of whatever they do. That same thought is repeated or actually was already in the Old Testament in Proverbs 25:20-21. So if your enemy, if this person is that's so hard to deal with, hunger, feed them. If they thirst, give them something to drink. Reach out in love to the very one that's not lovely. That's what we should do.
Proverbs 25:20-21.
Verse 20, 21.
If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat.
Yes.
And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink.
That's it. So, this is for how you are going to be able to reach others and to win them for Christ. Then let's go to Luke 6:27.
27 says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and him that taketh away thy goods, ask it not again.
So you see, how can we be a help to people? How can we reach out to them? If our heart is full of love, we can reach out to them by loving the unlovable, loving those that are our enemies. And do good to them that hate you. This is how we reach them. This is how we're going to be able to win them. You know something? We won't be able to win our enemy if we retaliate against them. We won't. The way we're going to win people is by showing love to them, the love of Christ in them, showing a good example, doing good to them. Here it has various ways you can help other people. And that is how we're going to win them. Jesus said he sent us out as sheep among wolves. There are a lot of things that people do that are not encouraging to us if we just look at the circumstances. But we know that he said he sent us as sheep among wolves. But we can have so much of God's love that it can overcome this. One scripture said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So whatever people, how are we going to reach the world? We're going to reach them through some of the things that we suffer. You know, I was thinking about Stephen. You know that Stephen was stoned. He was the first martyr. But do you know where they left their cloaks at? They left them at Saul, which was Paul. Don't you know, I believe in my heart that he saw something in him. When he was standing there, maybe everybody giving them his coats and they're out there stoning him, and he looking up and saying, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he not only that, but when they were challenging him or he's talking to them, he had the face of an angel. These are ways that we're going to be able to win the world. It's sometimes we're going to have to go through some hard things. But God can give us grace and God can help us to have the face of an angel in the face of adversity. And something else, he cried with a loud voice before he died and said, lay not this sin to their charge. He forgave them and he wanted God to forgive him. All of these are ways that we can reach other people and help them. So I want to go back now and think about how that we need to have a difference in us and the people that we want to win. If we, for instance, if I go over to a friend's house and there's a lot of joking and jesting, it's okay to laugh and have a nice time. But they're saying things that they ought not say. And I just act like I go along with it. I can't be of any help to them. I'm going to have to hold up a holy standard for others to win them. I cannot be a part of the world. We cannot help people by falling into the same sins that they're falling into and try to be a help to them. We're going to have to hold a holy standard, a righteous standard. John, 1 John 2 and 5. Somebody read that.
But whoso keepeth his word, in him brother is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Hereby know we that we are in him.
Yes, amen. So we want to, but I'm going to quote the scripture that I put it down wrong, which that's just one of those things. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So he doesn't want us to love the world. He wants us to not even be a part of the world. And we want to be able to hold a holy standard for those that's looking on. We want to lift up Christ. One scripture said it, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That scripture is really talking about Jesus dying, the death that he's going. But the people of God, if they will lift Christ up, he will be able to draw people to himself. And last, I want us to think about not giving up. Sometimes it seems like every effort you do is just in vain. It seems like I tried to show love. I tried to do this. I tried to do that. And it just doesn't seem to work. 1 Corinthians 15:58. But don't give up. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged. Know that you're doing God's will. And when we do God's will, he will stand behind us. 100%. Sometimes it seems like everything we've done is like spinning our wheels. But let's not be discouraged. For instance, when we come to Boley, you may not see great crowds. I've had people say, well, how many, is anybody coming from the community? I've had that question asked to me. How many people are coming? People ask you different things. But you know what? When God tells you to do something, do it with all your might and leave the result in his hand. And that's what we're doing. We're keeping these doors open by the grace of God as long as he says keep them open and leave whatever happens. We have to leave it in his hand. The same way, maybe we have loved ones that we've been working with and praying for, and it seems like it's just spinning your wheels. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not give up. Let's keep praying. Because God has promised. He's promised that his word will not return unto him void. What we do for God will not fail. The people, he will not make them get saved. He will not make them change. But he will do everything he can to woo them, to draw them to him. And that's what we want. Did anybody get 1 Corinthians 15:58?
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
See? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing our part in trying to help somebody else. Let's go to Psalms 126:5-6. The seeds we sow, the words we say, will not be in vain in the Lord.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, beating precious seeds, shall doubtless come in with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Do you see? They that sow in tears. Sometimes our children, for instance, they don't know that we're praying for them. Some of them don't know. They might not know the tears we shed for them. But this scripture says that he that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he's going to bring the sheaves. That means he's going to harvest. He's going to have some fruit from his labor. God will work if we will be faithful. That's what we need to do. Don't give up. You have some people, Sarah. I'm calling you out. You got some people that you are often praying for. Don't give up. That's what the devil wants us to do. Give up. Don't give up. keep praying for them. Let's go now to the last scripture is Isaiah 55, read verses 10 to 13.
Isaiah 55 and 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it.
See, just like the rain, it comes down, it's not going back up. And like the snow comes down and it waters the ground, the Lord has a purpose in what he has us to do. And he will accomplish his purpose. All he wants us to be is vessels, willing to do what we can in his vineyard, to serve others, to help others, to draw others, to pull others out of the fire. And then we leave it to him. It's going to accomplish what he had intended for it to. Pray for me.